अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। गुरुर्ब्रह्मा गुरुर्विष्णु गुरुर्देवो महेश्वरः गुरुस्साक्षात् परब्रह्म तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। ॐ सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति। वाट् इस् योग एण्ड् हू इस् ए योगी? ऐ थिङ्क् दि सेकेण्ड् क्वश्चन् इस् ईज़ी टु आन्सर्. वन् हू प्राक्टिसस् योग is a yogi. But what is yoga? This was about 15 years ago. That I encountered rather comical ideas about yoga. Not only stupid, but comical ideas about yoga. From there we have come a long way. We have progressed a long way. I was told a rather comical story. One of those much harassed public servants, some kind of a dignitary like a mayor of a town, had been asked to preside over a meeting that a yogi was to address. It was something like this, yoga. The secretary told him, the topic is yoga. He said, okay. He was so tired after the day's work that as soon as the proceedings commenced, he went off to sleep. He slept through the talk, which is a great tribute to the speaker. But he was so peaceful and non-exciting, you know. And when the speaker sat down, the mayor's secretary poked him and said, "Hey, please, sir, it is your turn. The presidential remarks, the chairman's remarks." He stood up and said, "Ladies and gentlemen, I'm certain that you enjoyed this interesting address on the benefits of yogurt." We have come a long way from there. And we are stumbling into a new obstacle though it is not really, and are beginning to regard yoga as a set of exercises, psychophysical exercises, meant mainly to promote health, which somehow to us sounds physical. Yet here, there is the breakthrough into psychosomatic medicine and psychosomatic disorders and cures and so on. I'm not anti this definition, because if one looks at the word health and also the word holiness, you know, we are all supposed to be holiness. My own definition of holiness is different. Holiness is a man who has many holes. That's nothing more than more serious than that. Nothing more serious than that. In fact and truth, the words health and holiness have the same root as the word whole, to be whole, whole. And there is no such thing called physical health. Physical health, physical immortality, eternal youth, you know, that sort of thing. You have seen it, have you? Haven't you? Haven't you seen eternal youth? Someone who is just about the same age forever and ever and ever? You have. A statue. A marble statue. The statue of David that Michelangelo made. It's today just as old as it was when he made it. So robust and charming young man. And this eternal youth and eternal immortal, physical immortality doesn't exist anywhere else. Physical health is a misnomer. The moment you divide it into physical, mental, moral, spiritual, etc., 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 you have already cut health into many pieces, and that is not health. So that if one regards yoga as a system of psychophysical exercises that promotes health, I am not terribly against this definition, provided we go the whole way with health. Another interesting experience I had long ago, this also about nearly 10 years ago. I had spent about a couple of years in South Africa talking, etc., etc. And I was going on a tour to East Africa. I thought of it taking a holiday on the sea, so I took a boat. It was so warm, so hot and sultry. I looked around, there was water everywhere, but if I jumped out of the ship, I may not be able to catch back again. I couldn't jolly well take a swim in the sea. I looked around, there was a swimming pool. I've never been able to understand how people swim in a swimming pool. Before you have two strokes, you are on the other side. And what else you do? You have to come back again. But luckily for me, I could float. Turn turtle on my back and just float. It's so easy that it's just very difficult for me to sink. There's nothing strange at all. And so I went up to the top deck, to the swimming pool, jumped into it, turned on my back, put on the lotus posture, because, I mean, I don't have to take too much space in that swimming pool. I tucked my head, tucked my legs in the lotus, and then I was lying down. It was beautiful. For those of you who can enjoy this luxury, it's beautiful, most exhilarating. Part of your body is above the water, the surface of the water. Your spine and the back are just under. It's beautiful. I was lying down, taking a sun bath and water bath at the same time. One young man, I could see him through the corner of my eyes. Looked. I was breathing, so I wasn't dead. And he wanted to know, what is this trick? He wanted to know. And so he tried to ruffle the water so that it sent waves to see if I'd get frightened. Nothing happened. After about 5 or 10 minutes of this game, he came close to me. Are you a practicing yogi? It tickled me so much that I lost my balance. I stood in that swimming pool and I said, what has this got to do with yoga? A wooden plank will float on water. A piece of paper will float on water. And don't forget that this ship with all of us in it is floating on water. Somehow we are hooked on to the idea that this yoga must be something special, something mysterious. Can you levitate? Why must I levitate? There is a chair here. If you cannot afford a chair, I am prepared to stand. But, incidentally, I won't mention names, yeah? Please don't try to, and please don't try to guess. You have not, I don't think you have met this person I'm talking about. One of the yogis in the Himalayas actually told me that he was a great enthusiast for pranayama, you know, the breathing exercises. And he himself told me that during the early days of his yoga practices, when he used to hold his breath for quite some time, he was indulging in this for several hours a day, spending several hours a day on this, and one day it seems he actually, his body was actually lifted up, hit the ceiling, and he came down. Luckily, there was no injury on the head. But there was a slight injury on the ceiling. A little plaster came off. You know, there are two lovely words in the English language which are most appropriate in this connection. So what? You hit the ceiling, so what? What is yoga? Yogas chitta vritti nirodha. A lovely little definition. Probably you got one of those books here, Patanjali's Yoga Sutras. Yogas chitta vritti nirodha. chitta is. What is chitta? Chitta. How do you define chitta? You can't define chitta, so better use the word chitta itself. What is vritti? Vritti is vritti. And there, the correct understanding of this vritti that rises and falls in this chitta is yoga. Yoga is chitta vritti nirodha. You don't understand, do you? Nor do I. That's the fun. We don't understand this. And so we look at, by their fruits shall they be known. So what is the fruit? Tada drashtu surupe avasthanam. That's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful sutra. You can write it down, find the simplest translation from any Sanskrit dictionary and hold this one sutra in your mind for days and days and discover three new meanings every minute. Tada drashtuhu surupe avasthanam. When this chitta and vritti and their understanding has been achieved, then the seer remains the seer. There is no confusion in the observer. There is no confusion in the seer. I'm the seer. Am I the seer? Possibly. Am I the seer? No, the eyes see. But do I know the eyes see? Huh? What do you mean I know? What is it that knows? The mind. The mind should know that the eyes see. How do I know that the mind knows that the eyes see? How do I know that the mind knows that the eyes see? If I create another one there, oh yes, I am watching my mind, watching my eyes, watching you. But again, it is a telescope. It goes on and on and on and on and on. You can go on peeling it. You can peeling skin after skin, and yet there are 1,000 left. I'll give you this maybe play of words or lots of words without meaning. I guess many or most of you are practicing japa. Japa is the repetition of a mantra, right? Perhaps many of you do practice this. Let's say you do japa or repetition of om or soham, right?
Are you doing it?
Yes.
Do you hear? Do you hear the mantra within you?
Yes.
Huh? You are repeating the mantra. You are hearing the mantra. Hey, schizophrenics. A whole bunch of schizophrenic. Are you one or two? The moment I ask you that question, you say, I'm getting into trouble. I am repeating the mantra, I am listening to the mantra, and I am watching both these. That means I am three. Is that right? You are repeating the mantra. You are able to listen to the mantra from within you, mysteriously. How this happens is another story. You are repeating the mantra, you are listening to the mantra, and you are standing aside looking at both these phenomena. Heavens, I must be crazy. As you say that, this one also stands aside and you have drawn behind looking at all the three. And you can go on ad infinitum. For the simple reason that this observer is not an object. The observer is the inner light. Don't confuse. Again, the moment one says the observer is the inner light, oh yes, I can see the flame rising here. That is an object. That is not what you are talking about. Enlightenment, of course I know. Look straight down, I can see blue flame. That's an object of your own thought, imagination, or psychic talents. That's not what we are talking about. And who is the seer? Is there a seer? We come to this crucial and vital question. Is there a seer? There is one enigmatic sutra in Patanjali's. I have looked at quite a few translations. Well, not that I am cleverer than these translators, but all of them seem to have missed a vital factor there. Drishta drishimatra. If you are ready for this, it's a shattering, I don't know what to call it, it's not a concept, it's a shattering revelation of truth. Drashta drishimatra. Who is the seer? Seer is seeing. The act of seeing is the reality. There is nothing else. The eyes see those eyes. The mind sees the eyes seeing those eyes. The intelligence or whatever it is aware of the mind seeing the eyes seeing those eyes. Full stop. When this takes place, a silly notion called I springs up. Why does it do so? Are there many people of Jewish faith here? I am one of them, I think. For the simple reason, that very often, if I am asked a question, I answer with a question. I believe it is a predominant Jewish characteristic. Why should it do so? And the answer is, why should it not? We are not asking why here. We are merely observing this phenomenon happening. The eyes see those eyes. The mind sees the eyes seeing those eyes. The intelligence is aware of the mind seeing the eyes seeing those eyes. And suddenly the notion of I see him arises. Only this notion is at fault. You and I are swimming in the sea. The water is placid, calm. And we are a few yards apart. You can look at me, I can look at you. You know where I am, I know where you are. You know I am alive and you know, I know you are alive and so on and so forth. And suddenly there is a big wave. And I don't see you, you don't see me. I am afraid and you are suspicious. I am afraid you are drowned and you are suspicious, I have run away. And the thing that seemed to have been one so far has become two. This wave rising there has created a division, this and that, here and there. There was no here and there before. Before the wave sprang, rose from the surface of the ocean, there was no here and there. It was all one. The moment this wave arose, there is a here and there. I, you. It may be terribly inadequate to call this a thought. I don't know what it is. The mind sees the eye, seeing those eyes. That itself is probably a thought. And that thought is not vicious. There is nothing wrong with that thought. The mind seeing the eyes, seeing those eyes. That's a thought. There's no problem with it. But the notion, I see him, there is some mischief.